When I was in high school, it was a grade 11 English class, and I remember this brief conversation that some students were having with our teacher. And I don't know how this came up or why they were talking about this, but they were talking about high school parties and what teenagers do at that stage in their life. And some of the students were saying, well, you know, our parents are saying, you know, don't do such and such a thing because we did that when we were young. But these students were saying, you know, our parents did that. Why don't, like, we just want to do that as well. Why not? And we'll learn from what those experiences are as well. And you see, they wanted to experience what their parents did. And so this was their logic. This was their wisdom. Why can't we do that as well? But the truth is that what the parents were trying to do was to warn them of what they experienced. This is wisdom. This is the truth that they weren't willing to listen to some wisdom. And so tonight, who will you listen to is the theme of this message, the theme of Proverbs chapter 2, because here's a problem that we all face, that failure to listen to God's voice will lead to serious consequences. And this world is full of voices that we are tempted to listen to, but God wants us to listen to his voice, and that is best for us. So Proverbs chapter 2, we are going through life lessons from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2 is lesson number 2 of a father speaking to a son. A father speaking to a son, and the father wants to pass on wisdom to his son. And so these Proverbs are not just good advice, but they are God's invitation for us to learn from a previous generation. Now, wisdom is not just knowledge. You could be a very smart person, but you could not be wise. That's a true statement. Wisdom, though, is applying that knowledge. It's skillful living. It's putting into practice what you have learned. I wanted to quickly just share, this is one resource that is on Right Now Media. If you type in the search box, read scripture, you'll get these videos, and the goal of these videos are to help us to read through the Bible without getting lost or giving up. And so this series called Read Scripture has a video for every book of the Bible that outlines its writing style, its main ideas, showing us how it fits into the entire story of the Bible. And so I've watched a few of these recently. They're only 8 to 10 minutes long, but they do give a really good summary of the Bible book. So I would recommend that to you. And so from this one on Proverbs, as a father teaches his son, it's speaking about wisdom and the fear of the Lord. We cultivate the fear of the Lord, and this will lead to a life of virtue. That's the good things, integrity and generosity, and this will lead to success and peace generally in our lives. Now, the father also is warning his son about folly and evil, and these foolish decisions will then produce selfishness and pride, which then lead to our ruin and we experience shame. So this is a little bit about Proverbs. Turn in your Bibles though to Proverbs chapter 2 if you're not already there. Find it on your phone. Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to start reading the first 6 verses of this chapter. So if you're there, I trust that you bring your Bible. Proverbs chapter 2, and let's start at verse number 1. My son, again, think of the father giving these words to his son. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So the first thing that I'd like to share with you tonight from this is that the Father is saying to his Son, I want you to seek after wisdom. I want you to pursue it. The Son is to listen to the Father's words, paying attention to wisdom. Now, one literary device that I'd like to point out to you as we continue through the book of Proverbs here on Sunday nights, and I think it will be helpful as we go through Proverbs and even tonight to think about this literary device, is parallelism. And one of the ways that this works out, parallelism is an idea that's stated and then immediately expressed again. So one example is synonymous. And so there are similar ideas presented one line after the other. So verse 4 I just read, if you seek it like silver, referring to wisdom, and search for it as for hidden treasures. And you can see that those are similar ideas, seek, search, like silver, that's like hidden treasure. So these are parallel ideas coupled together. Another type of this parallelism is antithetic, opposite ideas. And verse 8, this is actually verses 21 and 22. Anyway, for the upright will inhabit the land, those with integrity will remain in it, but, so here's the opposite, the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. And so, as you read through Proverbs, you'll see this opposite ideas presented in two lines. And then one more that we may see is this idea of synthetic, that a second idea extends the first. And perhaps this is one, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding in verse 6. And so perhaps that second line extends, you know, how does the Lord give us wisdom? Well, it comes from his mouth. He's speaking that. Just wanted to give that to you as you think about Proverbs, and especially as we get after chapter 9, we'll see all of these individual Proverbs, but that parallelism helps us to think about those Proverbs. Verse 4 again then, seek wisdom. If you seek it, my son, like silver, if you search for it, like for it as for hidden treasure. There is great value in getting wisdom. And how do we get it? By listening to God's voice. And this is particularly as we read God's word. There's no shortcut to getting wisdom but being in God's word. And, you know, we often say this, we need to be reading the Bible. The Bible is God's primary way that he is speaking to us today. It's God's specific revelation to us. And if you get wisdom then, so we're seeking wisdom, and when you get wisdom, then verse 5 says this, if you seek it, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So if you seek wisdom, then you will find God. You will understand the fear of the Lord. But the opposite is also true. If you find God, then you will gain wisdom. And we see in chapter 1 of Proverbs, it says there that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Psalm 111, verse 10 here, actually says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we see here in Proverbs 2, seek wisdom, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. But this verse, Psalm 111, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So seek wisdom, and you will find God. But the opposite is true. There's this relationship. If you find God, then you also are going to gain wisdom. This morning, that verse from James 1, verse 5 was referenced. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously. Now, verse 6 also says that the Lord gives wisdom. So we're to seek it, we're to pursue it, wisdom, but then it's also a gift that God gives us. And again, that was James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, ask God who gives generously. Now, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, you know, we could talk about the fear of the Lord for the next few hours, but we won't do that. But it's such a topic that is of really great importance for us as Christians, the fear of the Lord. I've been trying to work my way through a book called The Joy of Fearing the Lord. You know, this morning we heard about the joy of trials, but the joy of fearing the Lord. Now, this book is written by Jerry Bridges. You may be familiar with that author. The Joy of Fearing the Lord. Now, a popular definition of fearing the Lord is reverential awe. And so reverential, this is a deep respect. And awe is that wow factor whenever we experience something. And so he gives the example, you know, seeing a tornado. And, you know, Jennifer Lambert was on the list to be here for AV, and she experienced a tornado. Maybe some of you heard that testimony here. But, you know, when you see that tornado, I've never experienced that. But you can just recognize awe at the power of that. Now, that's not fear of the Lord, because we need to add the reverential part. And that comes in when we recognize that God is so powerful. The amazement of this storm's power just brings us to recognize who God is. And so we get that reverential awe, that fear of the Lord, reflecting on that magnificent power. And now that awe is not focused on just the tornado, but focused on God, directed to him. Now, a classic example, C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, one of the children, the four children, the Pevensies, they ask Mr. and Mrs. Beaver about Aslan the lion. They hadn't experienced him. They only just heard about him. And one of them says, "Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie, you're no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their fears, their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just plain silly." "Then he isn't safe," said Lucy. "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." Is God safe? The scriptures teach us that in his grace and mercy, God allows himself to be a place of refuge for us. But there's a larger sense in which God definitely is not safe. The Bible tells us that God is a consuming fire. And he cautions us, therefore, to worship him with reverence and awe. And so, yes, we find our safety and security in God. He is our friend. But there is also this deep respect that we have for him because of who he is and because he is God. And so we must keep both of these truths in mind if we are to understand and practice the fear of God. And so if you look at that little card I gave you, little acronym to think about the fear of God, written by this lady, Elise Fitzpatrick, in this book, Overcoming Fear, Worry, and Anxiety. So if we replace fear of other people, fear of anything, and we think about the fear of the Lord, which the Bible talks about, perhaps this can be helpful. So the first one, the letter F. So this is an acronym. You can see the bolded letters are all first. Fear God. So feed on his promises. Again, reading the Bible, God has such great promises for us. We need to be familiar with those so that when we go through times of difficulty, even when we go through times of success, that we need to be remembering his promise, and our identity is in Christ. The letter E there, etch them on your heart. And so memorizing these promises so that they're available. I know we usually have our phones with us, but when your battery's dead, you can't look at those promises. Just talking to a guy recently who he doesn't memorize because, you know, we do have our phones, but I would encourage us to memorize because these promises can come when we wake up in the middle of the night or when you're out on a hike and there's no service or whatever. So etch them on your heart. The third one, A, adhere to his commands. We need to be growing in holiness. And so adhere, this is being sticky to what he wants us to do. Adhere to his commands, the R, their rest and rejoice in his love. And so again, these two, God is safe, but there's a sense that he's not safe. And he is to be feared and deeply respected, but we can rest and rejoice in his love. Then the G there, go to him in prayer. That's always available to us. The O there, order your day for him. Sometime, you know, this book is about overcoming fear, worry, and anxiety. We can be caught in, well, what do I do next? But sometimes good counsel can be, do the next thing. You may have a huge list, but do the next thing. We get so busy sometime, but order your day for him. That first 20 minutes in the morning, some of you maybe spend an hour or more, but order your day for him. And then D, depend on his strength. So if that's helpful to you, thinking about fear God. I want to read this quote to you from John Bunyan, author of The Pilgrim's Progress. And of course, you had it in front of you, so you didn't need this slide. Listen to this quote from John Bunyan. The fear of God flows from a sound impression that the Word of God makes on our souls. So this is the Bible. For without an impress of the Word, there is no fear of God. So we need to be in the Word of God. Hence, it is said that God gave to Israel good laws, statutes, and judgments that they might learn them, and in learning them, learn to fear the Lord their God. For to the extent a man drinks good doctrine, that's teaching, into his soul, so to that extent he fears God. If he drinks in much, he fears him greatly. If he drinks in but little, he fears him but little. If he drinks it not at all, he fears him not at all. And so I'd like to remind us, you know, the more that we're in God's word, the more that we will grow in our fear of the Lord, because we will understand his character, that he is both a God of wrath, a God who is just, but he's also a God of love. And so we can't take one of those to any extreme. We need all of that. And so as we grow deeper in our love for the Bible and in reading it, then we will grow in the fear of the Lord. I just want to remind us that as we grow in wisdom and understanding the fear of the Lord, that we're not talking about behavior modification, that we're just to be good, moral people that are wise and other people might see us as wise. But verse 10, it says that wisdom will come into your heart. And what we need is heart transformation, not just external behavior change, but we need heart transformation. And out of that flows that wisdom. And how do we get heart transformation? This is the gospel, biblical Christianity, that we're made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that we're saved by grace, our sins are forgiven, they're paid for because of Jesus' death on the cross, and now because our hearts have been changed, because of our identity in Christ, then we seek wisdom, we grow in our understanding of the Lord, and then we live in obedience that's growing in holiness because we love God. Now, the last thing that I'll say is that this wisdom, as we seek it, as we understand the fear of the Lord, that there is protection for us. And at the end, it talks about two ways that we're delivered, two ways of protection, one from evil men, and then also from the forbidden woman. Let me read verses 12 to 15. So delivering you from the way of evil. So again, we're talking about seeking wisdom, getting wisdom, This will deliver you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So these verses just tell us, you know, there are evil people that will want to distract us and lead us on paths into darkness. And so again, the Father is teaching the Son, you will be delivered from evil men if you grow in wisdom. And so there's so many voices again in our culture. Who are we listening to? So it's common for people not to be married, but living together. And sadly, this is the case in the church as well. But God's plan and design is that one woman and one man would be together in covenant, in a marriage, a sacred promise before God. Even though it may be convenient, even though you may save money, it's not God's best for us as Christians. And so there are other examples. Tax season is here. We don't cheat on our taxes because we don't like the government. That's not what God has called us to do. Somebody may have been terribly hurt or betrayed by another person. And so we don't say, well, it's okay to hold that grudge because of the tremendous hurt that you've experienced. We need to forgive. It's not easy, but we can't minimize sin. You know, there are lots of other examples of the way that we justify our sin, and it's as if it's not wrong, and we follow these paths of evil men, but wisdom will deliver us from the consequences of those things. Last point, from deliverance from the forbidden woman. These verses, starting at verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Now this is the first time in the book of Proverbs that we meet the forbidden woman. And the father is warning his son against this woman. And so like the evil men who have perverse, twisted speech, twisted words, here we see that this forbidden woman, that she has smooth words. And you know, typically when we think of the forbidden woman, we think of, well, maybe it's their looks that are attracting the guys. But it is here we see it's flattery. It's those smooth words. So it could be somebody, you know, a coworker that is sympathetic to the stresses of life. And so it can start innocently. There could be harmless flirting at work, secret text messages. But then the next thing happens that guy is cheating on his wife because of this relationship. Now, this can happen to women also. Solomon could have been writing to his daughter and saying, beware of the forbidden man who could be doing the same thing. And here we see that the result is that it leads to death. These are the consequences for sin. Does God forgive? Yes, but we still experience the consequences. And so here again, the father is saying to his son, I want to give you this wisdom. I want you to pursue wisdom. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and this will deliver you from consequences in your life. And you know, all of us suffer consequences of our sin. And if you are facing some real secret sin, please talk to us. There is help and hope for anybody. Jesus restores, Jesus forgives, Jesus heals. But I'm saying to us, and you in turn can tell this to other people, that we need to seek wisdom. We need to understand the fear of the Lord so that we don't experience these consequences in our lives. Let me end with this. So thinking about seeking wisdom, understanding the fear of the Lord, then we will be delivered from evil men and from the forbidden woman. And finish with this verse, verse 20. So, my son, you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. The world would scoff at this, saying, do what you want, live the way you want. And the consequences are there, though,
though they turned a blind eye to it. But God is saying, you know, walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, and you will experience life way more than anything this world has to offer. So Proverbs chapter 2, a lesson from a father to a son that we can definitely learn from and put into practice. Remember, wisdom, it's not just knowing this, but now it's doing it. Let's pray together. Father, we're so blessed to be able to have your word, that we can freely bring it to us to church. We can have it in our homes. We can have it on our phones. But Lord, with its availability, sometimes we can lose the value and the treasure that it is for us. And so I pray that you'd help us to treasure it, help us to seek wisdom. And Lord, for our families, I pray that you would please teach us how we can walk in paths of righteousness. I pray for our church as a whole, that we would be growing in holiness, that we would be walking closer to you. And Father, we recognize that we all stumble and fall in many ways. And thank you for the forgiveness and the hope that we have in you. And I pray for restoration for those who have sunk deep into sin, that there could be people that would walk alongside them to help guide them to the truth, to reconciliation, to restoration, and to ultimately the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Pray for our young people with the pressures that they face at this particular time in our culture, but also for all of us, Lord, for adults, for those who are a little bit older. May we truly be wise and not just know things, but put that into practice. So we give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.